Hello and welcome to Phoenix Cinema Podcast. I'm Chris Austin.
And I'm Luke Parker.
And this is a podcast where we discuss the program of Phoenix Cinema in North London. And today we are reviewing Wes Anderson's new movie, The Phoenician Scheme.
Yes, so Wes Anderson's latest cinematic creation, The Phoenician Scheme, is a blend of espionage, family drama, and its whimsical aesthetic. Set in 1950, the film follows Anatoly Tsar Korda, played by Benicio del Toro, a wealthy industrialist and arms dealer who narrowly survives yet another assassination attempt. Seeking to secure his legacy, he reconnects with his estranged daughter, Sister Liesel, played by Mia Threpleton, and offers her a trial run as his heir. As Liesel delves into her father's shadowy empire, she becomes entangled in his grand infrastructure project, an ambitious yet morally dubious scheme to overhaul the economy of Phoenicia. Alongside Bjorn, played by Michael Cera, a Norwegian entomologist turned reluctant assistant, Liesel navigates a labyrinth of political intrigue, financial maneuvering, and personal revelations. With Anderson's signature ensemble cast and meticulous production design, The Phoenician Scheme is a highly visual, darkly comedic exploration of power and legacy. So, Chris, how was this one for you?
Thank you, Luke. Not a fan of this one.
Yes, I'm exactly the same.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, why don't you tell me why?
Okay. Well, firstly, I'll say that I'm not the biggest Wes Anderson fan.
Same here.
I think his films look amazing. The production design is amazing. And he has such a unique vision. Cinematography is always beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's always at least an interesting watch.
Right.
However, I find his films really quite dry and emotionless and a little bit tedious at times. And I kind of noticed it most during this film that I don't think he's a particularly good visual storyteller. There's a lot of, even though his films look amazing, they're just full of a lot of really fast exposition. And it's never really the characters doing much on screen. Mm. It's the characters looking at you in the camera, and they've clearly been directed to deliver their lines in this really quite jarring way that I'm not a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, this is like consistent through a lot of his films where they're just staring at the camera and they're, you know, delivering the exposition really, really fast. And I just don't find it that enjoyable. I understand why people do like it because it is very unique. It's very aesthetic. And his films can be fun. They're super interesting. And I think they work best when he's working on, you know, the more cartoonish side. And I really like the stop motion films he's done with Isle of Dogs and Fantastic Mr. Fox. But especially his more recent films, like I didn't really like The French Dispatch at all because I think it suffered from a lot of the problems this film suffers with kind of the added issue that The French Dispatch was kind of split between these different three vignettes, so it struggled even more to deliver any kind of like emotion. But yeah, this film's just very cold. The plot's not that interesting. It's really not that interesting. So I was disappointed in a similar way that I have been for a lot of Wes Anderson's more recent films.
Yeah, that's fair enough, man. I'm really pleased though, because I'm glad we feel the same way.
What about you?
Yeah, no, I think I absolutely agree with you on everything. And you know, with the caveat being that I haven't seen a lot of Wes Anderson films, so you know, bearing that in mind. Like you say, you really enjoy Isle of Dogs and Fantastic Mr. Fox. I haven't seen those. But I remember in our film club, we watched Grand Budapest Hotel. Mm-hmm. And the first time I watched it, I hated it. But then when I rewatched it, far removed from all the hype of award season, I was like, this is so good. It's so much
Grand
fun.
Grand Budapest Hotel is a good movie.
Yeah. You know,
people love that film and I totally get it.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. But exactly what you're saying, I think Yeah, I think Wes Anderson is a fantastic filmmaker. He's clearly someone working at the top of their craft. His films are so precise. There's such precision to his films, the blocking, the staging, the cinematography. But yeah, it ultimately left me exactly that cold. I can see why all the actors want to work with him, because it looks like so much fun, ultimately. Sure. But the problem is he doesn't surprise me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of know what to expect when I sit down to watch an Anderson movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very, very fair. And I feel like this film is very much like Marmite. And I've seen, from what I've read online, some people say this is Anderson's best. And I've seen people, quite a few people say that this is his worst.
Wow. So it's so divided.
Yeah, it's very divided.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest, I wasn't excited to see it anyway. And it's such a shame that I was not, you know, that my mind wasn't changed, or, you know, I wanted to be convinced of this. It's really telling that I saw this with my girlfriend and she fell asleep for 10 minutes. I had no idea. She just jolted.
Because it's not interesting. You know, the beautiful visuals can only get you so far. Because the story is not interesting. It's so wooden, you know, and... Yeah. Sometimes, at least to me, it wasn't that clear what was even going on.
Dude, 100%. Yeah, I was struggling to follow a lot of it. You know, at the end of it, Carrie Ann was saying to me, I totally missed all of Scarlett Johansson's part. And I was like, you didn't miss much.
Didn't miss much. Yeah.
Nope. There was nothing to see there, really. And it's so weird because, like, so much of his... It's funny, she also leaned over to me at one point during the movie and went, another desert? And I was like, yeah, that's interesting. Like, so many of his scenes could be imported from another film entirely. You know, this could have been a scene out of Asteroid City. You know, it's such a shame. I also didn't find it to be terribly funny.
No.
Right?
I remember in my screening, I mean, it wasn't a very busy screening. There's probably like 7 or 8 people in there.
Right, same.
There was just one person laughing out loud and everyone else was just sat there.
Kind of speaks to your Marmite analogy.
Yeah. I mean, there was a few chuckle-worthy moments, but yeah, it wasn't funny. Like, at least not to the level I was expecting.
Yeah, and it's like, there was like a joke in it early on. There was a line, would you like a hand grenade? It's quite funny. Mm-hmm. And then they do it about 4 more times.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh, I see it's meant to be funny each time. Yeah. And now it's just not. What do you think about performances?
I find it really hard to kind of give an opinion on performances and
I get
movies
that.
Because they're so like specific to Anderson movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're very emotionless. Mm. They're very... I've used this word a lot already, but, you know, they're very cold. Just, I don't like the way he directs the actors to deliver their lines. Mm-hmm. There's just, you're just at times being hit with so much information and exposition. That's why it becomes quite hard to follow what's going on. So yeah, it's quite hard to say, you know, because it's not like a traditional performance, but that's on purpose. That's how Anderson wants it to be.
Yeah.
But you know, it's always fun seeing like just this absolutely stellar cast doing something different like this. I did really like Michael Cera's character.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I thought... I mean, I like Michael Cera, and I thought this was a good role for him. I feel like he was actually probably the best character in the film.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. What about you?
No, I feel the same way, yeah. I think the cast is fine. And exactly what you said, I think everyone's just doing what's asked of them. I'm not blown away by anybody in particular. But like you said, we know these are great actors and it's always a stellar cast. You know, I love Del Toro, you know, I'll watch him in anything, but how can you even judge what they're doing here? Because yeah, everything is set to a particular tone and frequency and you're either tuned into that or you're just not, you know?
Do you know who was in this film that did absolutely nothing? That was a bit criminal.
What?
Willem Dafoe.
I can't believe. So yeah, why is Dafoe in the movie? Also, F. Murray Abraham is with him in those.
In those
sequences, those were in heaven or whatever.
Yeah, those like afterlife vision sequences that were like happened and then I just completely forgot about.
What is that? Like, what was the point of it of casting them if they play little to no part in the movie?
Yeah.
It, to me, it kind of just feels a bit showboaty. It feels like, honestly, it feels like Wes Anderson being like, look who I got in my movie. Even the way the opening title sequence is done, it's like Tom Hanks, Bryan Cranston, you know, Benicio del Toro, Scarlett Johansson. Yay, celebrate this. Celebrate this film. Yeah, so so what? You know,
You have all these amazing actors, but they're doing nothing.
They're doing nothing.
And one, I don't know why it just didn't sit with me, and I really didn't like, maybe if it was just their character or their performance or whatever, I didn't like the bit with Tom Hanks and Bryan Cranston. You know, they start doing this like basketball game, and it just. I get they're trying to be fun, but it just wasn't that fun, to be honest.
I know what you mean, and it's criminal because look at the actors you've got in that scene. You know, you've got Hanks and Cranston, you've got Riz Ahmed and Del Toro. You know, it should be so much more than what it is. I liked it. It may be one of my favorite moments actually in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. But it still didn't deliver, ultimately. I wanted more. I expect more. And it's what's interesting is you can see the actors are having fun. Yeah. They're having a great time.
But we're not.
We're not.
Yeah,
such a shame. Stacked cast, and I can't really...
Even Benedict Cumberbatch's role, like... Oh. I just... The whole... The problem is, because we don't, well, at least because I didn't care about pretty much the entire film, I felt nothing during that last bit with Benedict Cumberbatch, literally nothing.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I felt nothing. I didn't care for these people.
Yeah, and I was just, at that point, I was ready for the film to be done.
This isn't even
a particularly long film.
No!
It's like an hour and 40.
No, it's actually, blessedly quick. So, what about the score? Because, you know it's going to be a Desplat score. What do you think about that?
So the two things I think this film does best, firstly, the production design and the visuals. Secondly, I think that the sound design is amazing.
Oh.
I love the music. The sound design's amazing. And at least in the cinema I was in, it was really loud and I could pick up everything. And I thought... It was really nice. And the music's great. I love Alexandre Desplat. So.
Same, yeah. But I was, I'll be honest, I was also really disappointed because I also love Desplat, but in the ongoing Desplat-Anderson collaboration, I kind of feel like it's the same thing. It's the same vibe constantly.
That's fair. Like, it wasn't anything glaringly original or new.
I just think
the music that he writes just couples really well with the visuals of a Wes Anderson film. So I get why he's not doing anything groundbreaking.
And I guess at the same time, the composer has to score to what they're seeing on screen.
Yeah.
You know, so what else can he do? I guess it's just, it's that same quirkiness that for me, it's hard to differentiate from one film to another. Like, I'll walk out of this going like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, hang on now, that wasn't this. That was Grand Budapest. You know, does it matter? You know, you could probably transpose one film score onto the, you can mix and match. Probably won't make a difference.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I guess maybe it's just that they've kind of found this winning formula and they're just sticking with it because it works. And, you know, yeah, like you said, it's nothing new, but it's nice and it works. And at least in this film, for me, it was definitely one of the stronger aspects.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to listen to the score on its own as well. In those sequences, actually, with Defoe and Abraham, those heaven, whatever those were, there was the moments there with the score. I think he's using some vocals in it as well. Sounded quite nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe in isolation, I think I'll give it a try. Actually, they just released the album and it's so bloody short.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was much like different music throughout the film. I think they repeated quite a bit as well.
Yeah, but it's like short for a score. Like, it's only like, it looked from what I saw, like 7-8 tracks. I was like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I don't really have much else to say about the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why people like it. Because it's very well made. It's just one of those things where it's not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know? That's it. Yeah. And to go along with what you were saying earlier too about not caring, and it feels like there are truly no stakes. Like, nothing matters.
Because I don't know who I'm supposed to be supporting. Like, I'm not rooting for anyone in this film, because the main guy who we're following and his daughter, they're like, okay, maybe not a daughter so much, but Benicio del Toro's character is like pretty much a villain.
Yeah. And he's a bit of a drip.
He's a massive drip. And there's like this, supposed to be this kind of character arc, I guess, where by the end of it, he's kind of like changed his ways because of his daughter. And, you know, now he's living this modest life and he's paying the workers now. They're not slaves anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just so last minute and it's so unremarkable, basically.
Yeah, and it truly actually doesn't feel earned at all.
Totally.
It just feels accepted that's where the movie has to end.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
It's all silly and it all operates on cartoon logic, you know, and that's, you either love it or you don't. And I'm just so pleased that we were both, weren't in the mood for it. You know what? Maybe, does it depend on our mood? Maybe on another
maybe,
day.
Maybe, maybe. Very true. It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to get behind this plot because all it really is you have this this really rich industrialist guy who's going around trying to get people to give more money for this massive industrial scheme he has. That's it, basically.
That's it. I'm disappointed. And like you said, I wasn't too thrilled with the recent output either. I think Asteroid City, I wasn't. Did you see that?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
No, wasn't. And I was, you know, intrigued. French Dispatch, I had seen it when you were talking about it. And I tell you now, I cannot remember anything.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Well, I only saw Asteroid City not that long ago. And I can barely remember anything about that one. So
I remember nothing. I think there's an alien in it, I think. And Jason Schwartzman's in it, as well as Scarlett Johansson. That's pretty much all I remember. Yeah. Yeah, what a shame. Well, okay, so do you have any final thoughts on it, or shall we move on to...
Well, I'm just curious what Carrie Ann's final thoughts were of it.
Oh, no, she was not a fan. Okay. I think she was very much with me in that respect. She didn't find it too enjoyable. I think we all agree, though, is that, he's such a great filmmaker, and it looks great, and it's such a well-made film, and...
Mm-hmm.
that is just always lovely to watch. And his use of the camera and sets and like costume design and all of that is impeccable stuff. It was a shrug at the end of it.
Big shrug.
Yeah.
I always like to see Richard Ayoade though in these kind of bigger Hollywood films, even though his role was really dumb as this like communist revolutionary, but that was quite fun, that little cameo, I thought.
Agreed. Yeah, we actually looked at each other in the cinema and I was like, Richard Ayoade, like, well done to him. That was great. I'm so glad he popped up in this. All right, cool. So pairings were hard.
Very hard. I mean, it was really hard to not just pair this film with another Wes Anderson.
With another Anderson film.
Which is actually what I've done.
Oh, okay, great. So you go first then, because I tried my best to resist it.
Okay. So I wanted to pair this with an earlier Wes Anderson film, kind of a bit before he developed this like signature style, you know, of things being quite still and square and symmetrical. And just kind of to have that comparison, I thought would be quite fun. So I'd pair this with Rushmore.
Okay.
Which I saw quite a while ago.
I
can't remember that much about it. It wasn't his first film.
It was his second,
second movie. Yeah. But again, it's got some of his usuals in it, like Bill Murray and Owen Wilson.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I just thought it'd be nice to see kind of his older film before he developed this signature style.
That's great, yeah.
Compared with where he is today, which was a bit of a disappointment.
and which he's so set in that style now. Like, there's no deviation from it. Really cool. I'm so glad you picked it. I was actually looking through his whole filmography just to see how many times he's collaborated with Desplat. And I can't remember when Desplat took over. Maybe it was like the aquatic life of whatever, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what that is. But I was thinking to myself when I was looking at his earlier films, what are those like? Because he's got such a signature style now. How did that develop? Yeah.
Yeah, what was his first film? Because I haven't seen it, and I'm very curious to see it now. It was called Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket, 1996. That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a heist film, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd never even heard of it, to be honest.
Yeah, it showed up on a Screen Drafts podcast.
Again. With a... Got Owen Wilson in it.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, the usual stable of actors. Mm. Yeah, it showed up on like an episode of Screen Drafts talking about the best heist movies or something like that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I made a note of it. So I was like, yeah, I need to check that out.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Well, I
and
went.
You?
So what could you do, honestly? I went with not a film, but a TV series.
Let me guess.
Go on. Very recent. Succession. It ended recently. Perfect. Spot on. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. You know, you've got this massive sort of family patriarch who has this huge company. It is in this case a media, you know, entertainment conglomerate, and his family's fighting for control of the company. You know, amidst his uncertain health, he's not constantly getting, you know, trying to, you know, almost getting assassinated, but you know, it's a similar sort of thing. I'll be honest. So did you like Succession?
I have not seen it.
I think you would.
I just know what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah, you would, because it was created by Jesse Armstrong, and I know you like Jesse Armstrong. Yeah. He wrote a lot of, The Thick of It?
Yeah, yeah.
And In the Loop, he wrote In the Loop. I love In the Loop. Yeah. And he wrote a lot of Veep. And he's just, I think he speaks. I personally, I didn't like Succession, which is a major hot take. Yeah, I stopped watching it after season one. And then...
Is it finished now?
It's finished.
Okay.
I think it's 4 seasons. And then everyone kicked off about it and was like, oh my God, are you watching this? And I never really... Maybe I need to revisit it. But what I have done is I've bought the scripts. Which is It's one of the like rare HBO shows where they've released the scripts.
It's like a book.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
and it's cool. So cool to see how Jesse Armstrong writes as well. He writes a lot of alternate actions or dialogue. So he'll write it and then in brackets, or you can do this, which is okay. Wow. It's like,
that's nice.
Yeah. Giving direction to the actors through the script is, yeah, I love that.
When they release these kind of script books, are they like as it is in the film, or are they like the raw script before it was made?
I think it's usually the shooting script. So it's okay. Whatever they used to actually shoot the thing. But then usually you might find so many changes depending on what changes yeah. they made on set and in post-production.
So it'd have like deleted scenes in that in the script?
Potentially. I don't know. I can't speak with authority on that. Yeah, I'm not too sure.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, really cool. So yeah, I'd recommend reading the scripts, if anything, because they can be quite fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Cool, man. All right. I guess we'll leave it there.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's not often that we don't like a film that Phoenix is showing, but one's got to pop up every now and then, I guess. But anyway, yes, yeah, special thanks to Phoenix Cinema. Our music is by Stefan Krieger. As always, you can find more of his music on stefan-krieger.com, and our episodes are edited by Noah Anderson. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. It can only help us. And after you've done all that, go and watch a film at the Phoenix Cinema, and I'll see you there.
See ya.